Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We do have Pete Futek coming up in just about an hour and a half at 4:20. Talk the big college football news. We do have updates to the quarterback Deadpool coming up in 40 minutes. Who might be on the case of who the Browns are going to draft in April? Who might be the team holding the number one pick? Are they the same person? We'll get to that in about 40 minutes. But big night for Donovan Mitchell last night. I want to make sure, was it okay that he took over the game like that and scored 40 plus points? I just want to know.
Yeah.
I just never know. And then I also heard well, Evan, you know, he didn't have 40 points last night. I was like, I think he had 20 points by halftime. Isn't that good? Was that not good? I just never know. And by the way, all the Jared Allen stuff.
Which that's
like
the one
Jared
I wanted
Allen
to highlight.
Is a B. It was like, didn't he have 24 points and 10 boards last night?
Jared Allen was awesome last night. It was 24 and 10. And honestly, I feel like that's the part that Darius being back in the lineup benefits the most. It makes it seamless for Jared. I don't know why. It might sound dumb when I say it, but I just believe it to be true. When Jared Allen plays like that, that's the best version of the Cavs. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be Jared Allen dependent. It's not. But like when you get that version of Jared Allen, that's a true all-star type level play last night.
I mean, we talk about this. I know yesterday when we talked about the Dylan Gabriel Shedeur stuff, Ross made the point, if the Browns didn't have Shedeur as the backup quarterback, would you really be that much of a malcontent about Dylan Gabriel's play? And now our responses were, yes, he's not very good. But I think the shame of having Jared and Evan is that people are always going to use one to knock the other. And usually it is, well, Jared's presence is somehow making Evan worse, which may or may not be true or might only have some semblance of truth. But certainly the other way goes to Jared Allen. I mean, you mentioned 24 and 10. And Evan had apparently the quietest 23-point performance in NBA history last night.
Was that the takeaway? He only shot 5 threes. He's really he's putting the stop sign on himself.
But, you know, with Donovan, I do want to get back to Donovan because I was just griping about things that have annoyed me early in the Cavs. Because I just want to be a good vibe guy, right? The Cavs are going to be good. The Cavs are going to be fine.
And last night was a good vibe game.
Whether they're the 1 seed, the 3 seed, I don't give a rip right at this moment. I want them to get healthy, and I want to have games like last night where it was just like, I mean, Jalen Tyson was really good. Darius was pretty decent for that first game back in, what, I think, 26 minutes. Like, that was just a good vibe game. And it's so funny that Kenny Atkinson, we'll play that audio in the segment, ripped him because it was like, oh, that's the kind of game. Like when you lose, Kenny Atkinson says, well, we're not concerned about wins and losses. And when you're winning, but you're not winning by enough, here's what Kenny Atkinson says after the game.
I ripped them at halftime because I think that second quarter, we just completely kind of lost mental focus. Our activity went way down, defensive activity. I mean, ripped them as much as you can rip anybody in the NBA, you know. I mean, but, you know, it was like, you know, first quarter, we were all over the place. Second quarter, we were relaxed.
I like so much of what he just said.
Yeah.
Like, this is like when we talk about head coaches that say nothing. And how annoying it is, and how not standing for something. That's how you can go ahead and give an honest assessment of what happened without embarrassing anyone.
Yeah, and it's acknowledging, too, in the NBA. I mean, really, all these pro leagues, you can only go so far. And he's like, I walked right up to that line. I went about as far as you possibly can go. It's just, I mean, we can say the obvious, and I said this last week, and I think it's true. It's funny how it's caught steam. Like more and more people are waking up, like, oh, a head coach in the city can actually speak that way, and it's all right. Yeah. It's boomeranged right back on Stefanski in such an interesting way. Like I tune into Atkinson post game shows every game now. Like yeah. It's a must watch because he not only teaches you, but then he also tells you what's exactly going through his mind at any given point.
Well, and I think what matters is the culture of the sport, right? Kenny Atkinson in a sport where it's, hey, superstars and all that stuff, he's comfortable in his own skin to say some semblance of truth. It doesn't have to be the unbridled truth. It just kind of has to rhyme with the truth. If you rhyme with the truth, most people will go, oh, thank you for that. We get a window into, because again, by the way, all he's doing is everything I've heard good coaches do. When your team is down, you don't kick him. You lift him up and say, hey, we're just trying to work on stuff. We'll figure it out. And then when they're on their high horse, you bust them down a peg. Like, mm-hmm. It's none of this is like earth shattering, but like at least in baseball, when Vogt doesn't say anything, I go, well, that's baseball. Right? Like, baseball has always been a keep it in the clubhouse type sport.
Baseball is also tough, too, because those guys, it's 162 games, and they really do speak every single day.
Yes.
And there's so many different nuances within the game that there's enough that they can discuss in any game as well. Like, it's different.
Well, but my point is, like, that's a cultural thing in baseball. By the way, I don't think it's good for baseball. I think you should have more personalities. I think that's good for the drama side of things, and I think drama is what sells sports in America. But, like, you go to the NBA, players are feeding the drama. And you go in the NFL, Players say stuff all the time. Hell, Wyatt didn't come out and bash anyone with a whole play-calling thing. But he did tell you exactly what he wants. I want to attack people. I'm sick of being attacked. It's a very honest assessment. Now, you got to read through the lines a little bit, and mm-hmm. you might take it differently than I do. But that's saying something. And in a very, very macho sport with Stefanski, like, when you just come out and you give milquetoast answers, I'm not saying that the Philly in him doesn't come out occasionally behind the scenes, but the perception is you're a pushover.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the worst, like, in macho sport like football, it's the worst thing. It's the worst, same in the NBA, it's the worst thing it can happen.
But also has us not trust you ever either is the other side of this. Yeah. Like, I've grown to trust Atkinson in just hearing his post-game press conferences, because not only is the first one to, when I feel like you're the first one to dog the team before I'm even going to dog the team on certain things, I'm like, all right, when you're spitting me something, then I'm going to believe it. And because of that, then, you're probably going to get more leeway in the future. Like, it gives you a longer leash than you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to turn this into where we're going, but I'll tell you this. Like, do you want to know why there's 75 million different conspiracies on Shador, even the latest injury? Because they don't tell you anything.
Right.
And I get that they get super...
They're so cagey about the injuries all the time.
Well, the injuries thing I understand because they've been burned by it. The Baker stuff blew up in their face.
Even like Mike Hall. I mean, Hall, it took us how long to figure out that something was wrong with him?
Well, that's just bad roster management, because they did that last year. I can't remember who... It wasn't Mike Hall Jr. They had somebody start the season. Maybe it was Jed. But they had somebody start the season on the active roster, and then they missed the first 4 weeks of the season. That's just dumb. So, but I understand the caginess with that. But like, if people trust you in everything other than injuries, right? Hey, how'd you play? Well, yeah, that was bad. And here's why it was bad. And here's what we need to do differently. And say it in a literal matter-of-fact way instead of everything being cloak and dagger. Yeah, they'll trust you on the injury thing too. Like, it's no coincidence. Like, in the one way that this is the worst team for Shador to go to is, they don't tell anyone. They don't put anything out that doesn't benefit them in some way or make them look good in some sort of way.
Yeah.
At which point everybody goes, oh, this is state-run media. I don't trust anything. So if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. And that's a bad place to be in when you're a two-win team.
When my default reaction to anything that Stefanski says is just believe the opposite, and I'm proven right more than wrong, and I consistently looking at it through that viewpoint and that lens, like, that's a bad thing. But with Atkinson, I don't have that. With Atkinson, I'm genuinely, he's giving you reasons, he's giving you thoughts, he's giving you opinions. He is, in many ways, admonishing his own team in the process. Like, it's just refreshing, and it's different, and I like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the leader of men thing. Like, I understand that it is a double-edged sword, that something you say in the media, if it's misconstrued or taken the wrong way, I understand it can double back on you. But if you're a good communicator, you can solve that. Like, when I say leader of men, I have seen leader of men who never raise their voice. Jim Tressel, now he raised his voice a little bit. But if you talk to Jim Tressel, he's just a great communicator, and he's very honest. Like, that was such a core, that wholesome honesty that he has, that's a leader of men. Ron Rivera scared the crap out of me. The dude is a former NFL linebacker, and he is as serious as a heart attack. But he's an incredible communicator that delivers direct thoughts. And the time where I've criticized Ron and Charlotte mm-hmm. was when the guy was double-talking, when it just didn't make any friggin' sense, when he lost kind of his own messaging. Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel has mentioned he'll cut himself off at a very specific spot to win a Super Bowl. But if you look at it, yeah, he's more of a red face. Like he gets more red faced, more of a yeller than most people. But he's also an incredible communicator, and I think you have to trust yourself to communicate your message. And that doesn't have to be throwing guys under the bus, but it can be if you're actually upfront and honest with them. You have to be able to trust yourself to deliver the message, and you have to be able to trust them as well.
Well, and because it was so honest and it was so forthright, we've all kind of even just glossed past the idea that this is him celebrating what is a coaching win here, too.
Yeah.
Like him telling you guys that, yeah, they got lackadaisical, they weren't paying enough attention, we fell into some of the laziness that we got into last year when you had a lead, and then I yelled at him, and then we got out of there in the third quarter, and we outscored Philadelphia by 17 in that third, and everything got right. Like that is us telling you what you do, what your job is, and you're doing a good job at it.
Yeah, and again, it just comes down to it is a way of leading that isn't throwing anybody under the bus, but it is give. Because I'll be honest with you, I think what Kenny Atkinson said yesterday, like there's the media reason why you and I like this, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
there is. It helps us do our job. It helps us give us something to understand where the team is. As a fan, guys, I never got mad at a coach. Now, if it's reckless or if it's mean or if it's whatever, you're going to have different opinions on it. But mostly, if a coach went out and said what he thought, and he did it in a very again, trusting himself to convey a message that needs to be, if it rhymes with the truth, fans love that crap. And you don't have to do it in baseball. I think you have to do it in the NBA, and I think it's why JB really kind of lost the plot for fans at the end. And it's why I think Kevin, like right now, guys, it's not about the five wins, why so many people lost trust in this town. It's too many times when you've went for answers to Kevin, it's been bubkiss. It's been nothing. It's been nothing mm-hmm. of substance. And certainly nothing you can relate to. So if I can't trust you, if I can't relate to you...
Well, it became predictable. And yes. Predictably boring, too, on top of it.
And it feels like you're playing a game that has more to do with you and the media than it does you and the fans and being a conduit for the organization. You better have some wins in your pocket if you're going to do that stuff, because this is what happens when you win five games in a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Kevin just cared a little bit too much about what everyone thought about him in general, and that like from a national perception. And Atkinson just doesn't have that. He doesn't appear to be that.
216-474-0092. Here is the question we're going to throw out to you guys. What is Kenny Atkinson, when you hear that, is that what you want to hear from Kevin Stefanski? We'll get to Donovan Mitchell trolling a troll later in the show, but Joe Flacco is changing perspectives for the better and the worse all across the NFL. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The QB Deadpool coming up in 20 minutes. Nick and JP back with you. Just playing a little game here, but mostly because this is the kind of game that JP and I would very much enjoy, although I set it up in the most confusing way ever, saying, can you give me five of the top 12 career earnings for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I thought you meant average yearly salary, the ones that are making 50-plus million a year.
And this doesn't include future money.
That. Yeah.
So it only includes through today, through this
today.
Season.
Okay.
So... You mentioned Mahomes.
Well, so off the rip, then it's got to be. I would think Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar would all be in that list. Although mm-hmm. Lamar recently just got paid that big amount, but he's still there.
Yeah, he's 12th.
Yeah, I mean that's again. Yeah. You're on the end spectrum of that for sure. Is Joe Burrow on that list? Did he crack that list yet or no?
Let me see. This is very hard. No.
Okay.
No,
he's 13th. I didn't think so. Matthew Stafford's definitely on that list.
Yep.
Jared Goff's on that list.
Uh huh.
Kirk Cousins is on that list.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Rodgers is on that list.
Uh-huh. You're like the Rain Man. He's like even looking off into a distance. He's really you're like focusing a superpower.
Dak Prescott's on that list.
Uh-huh. There's one name I guarantee you will not get. Because when I saw it, I was like, this is not like the others. This one thing does not belong on this list.
See, now I'm trying to think a little more outside the box then.
Yeah. There's only two that I think you might not get. I think everything you've said makes a hell of a lot of sense, but I think there's two guys.
Yeah, because the newly paid guys aren't going to be there then, right? So, like, Tua's not there. Jordan Love's not there. Trevor Lawrence isn't there. Justin Herbert's not there. Like, they all just recently got paid, yes. So they're not going to be in this group. We're looking for more, like, second contract type people,
yes.
And people that have been around the NFL
third,
for a while.
Fourth, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, anyone that's older of substance. Flacco's on that list because Flacco's been around long enough
that
now.
That was one of the 12 I thought you might not get. Yeah, he's ninth. He's made $180 million on the books. We don't know about anything off the books. Maybe a deal with Steve Ballmer's satellite company, something like that. But yeah, 190. All right, the other one I guarantee you, don't Google.
I'm not Googling. I want to look at the teams just to remind me so I don't have to like go bat around and do it. Because I can go team by team and quarterback by quarterback, and I could be able to do this. It's just whether or not we can get there from that perspective. Because I'm looking now. All right. Texans, for instance, isn't it? That's not it. It is. Daniel Jones might be on that list because Daniel Jones made a lot of money with the Giants.
Nope. Can I tell you this? I'll give you the number because I was surprised that this was top 12.
Okay.
$151 million career earnings.
Oh, Baker Mayfield.
No.
Oh, because Baker had the $100 million deal with the Bucks, and then because he. How is he not on the list? He made a $100 million deal there, and he made at least $50 million
with the... Baker's only made two today. Baker's only made 87.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Million.
Oh, that's surprising.
Wait. It's
that doesn't make sense to me.
Says through the 2024 season. Right. I'm now a little frustrated.
All right. Yeah, all right.
That's on me, dog.
That's okay.
Wait. Let me update this. Through 2025. That's on the website. All right?
Okay. Yeah. All
right. Baker's still not. Well, you know, God bless it. Now I got to go back to quarterbacks. All right. That's through
okay.
this.
That's okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo through 2024 made $151 million. That would have been 11th all time.
Well, he kept making those, like, what, $25 million a year deals. You make them long enough, I guess that is what it is.
And by the way, all the while dating adult entertainers, mm-hmm. like, he's had a good life. Now he's just the backup in L.A. They don't really ask anything of him. Just be good-looking and live in L.A. Making $3 million a year, that's the life. Now, speaking of Joe Flacco and a butt-ton of money being made.
Yeah.
You have a theory that Joe Flacco, or not a theory, Joe Flacco is changing your perspective on someone in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's an okay thing to now wonder whether Joe Burrow is as good as Joe Burrow's always been. I don't know why Joe Flacco, I know why Joe Flacco is the one to do this to me, but I think it's an all right thought if you as a sports fan think less of Joe Burrow based off of what you've seen with Joe Flacco. It's the wide receivers. It's Higgins, it's Chase. And yeah, there's a lot of what's happening right now that makes it all right to assume that there's more than just Higgins and Chase that's happening, because I've made that case in previous weeks. There is more, but... If you're consistently putting up 40 points a game, like I think it's okay to question whether or not Joe Burrow really is as great of a quarterback as we think he is.
Well, welcome to my side. No, I think Joe's a very good quarterback. I just think, like...
I think I needed to see somebody else go through what the Bengals had, because the offensive line stinks, okay?
Yeah,
and so he's been able to do that with the idea that the offensive line stinks. And so I've always credited him for that, while then just kind of sitting there and being like, well, all right, we know Chase is great, and we know Higgins is great, but is Higgins really that? Yeah, no, they're both that good.
Yeah, so what I think matters here is, I don't think this is the only perspective that's changing. I think Joe going to Cincinnati and immediately balling out hurts Kevin Stefanski's perspective. We talked about that yesterday.
For sure, yeah, for sure.
People talking about giving up the play calling and how, you know, Albert was like, I really got to think about this one. Ross Tucker, I really got to think about this. This is curious. I also think it should change the perspective on Zach Taylor. Like, Zach Taylor...
Oh, he needs to get a bump up?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and listen, I think he's Mike McCarthy. I think if you give him a quarterback that fits what he wants to do, like Dak Prescott in Dallas and like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, I think he's going to win you a lot of games. He might not win you Super Bowls, but it's funny. Like, I think we've all, I think that's what's most annoying to me is Zach Taylor's doing this with 40-some-year-old Joe Flacco. And Jamar Chase is getting the credit, not the head coach, who's also the offensive coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think he's a top five head coach. I think that's what we're dealing with.
That's an interesting glow up, though, and something that I wonder if Cincinnati Radio would acknowledge, the idea that Zach Taylor needs a little bit more respect, because I doubt they will.
No, it's not enough sample size. And by the way, they're also not winning, in fairness.
They would also laugh at the idea of what I'm suggesting with Joe Burrow, but I can only tell you how I feel. And how I feel right now is I used to think he was a top four quarterback in the sport, and now I think it's okay to put him maybe closer to, I don't know, somewhere in the top 10, but closer to maybe 9 or 10 than definitely 3 or 4.
I mean, I think...
That's what this has done for me.
Listen, I was the guy that put Jalen Hurts over Joe Burrow in my quarterback rankings this last year, and I did it for a reason. Like, Jalen just continues to win, and Jalen doesn't care about the stats. He doesn't. And if he did, I think he could be a top five statistical quarterback. And by the way, I think his team would be worse for it. But instead, he chooses to win 13 games a year. And all right, do you need me to rush for 800 yards this year? Okay, I'll do that. Oh, am I the short yardage guy now? Am I the goal line back right now? Because he's done that too.
Mm-hmm.
But specific to Joe, it's like you've got to ding him for the injuries. Because we do that.
For sure you have to.
By the way, we did it for a lesser quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, another guy we mentioned. It wasn't just that he was just okay as a quarterback. It was the injuries that hurt him in a lot of people's eyes. And you got to ding him for the fact of he's incredibly talented. And what I like about Joe is... both Joes, actually, is that they have that ice in the vein thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Joe does have that useful psychopath thing to him. Joe Burrow, that is. But
I mean, I told you before, I did this interview with basically this guy that had talked to Joe Burrow's high school coach. And that was the takeaway that the high school coach had told him, is that he is, if he wasn't a quarterback in the NFL, he'd be a serial killer.
Yes.
Like, that's his demeanor. His demeanor is of that.
So... I like that. I wish we had a little bit of that, right? But it's not that he's overrated. It's just, it's not that he's not a top 10 quarterback or he's not this or that. Or like, my perspective really hasn't changed with Joe Burrow. It's just, I think it puts into context that you'd probably almost throw for 5,000 yards too if your defense was as bad as the Bengals' defense is.
It just gives you a lot of opportunities too, but it's not that. Maybe I just got hung up with the idea that he went to the Super Bowl as early as he did, and it seemed like he was bypassing everyone as far as hitting the steps that you would to be and maintain being a top four in this sport. But Nick, everywhere he's been in his life, the only time we ever saw him really thrive was at LSU in college before the NFL, the season where he threw 50 touchdown passes and obviously was the... a Heisman winner, everything. And that was Justin Jefferson. That was Jamar Chase. That was Clyde Edwards-Helaire as your running back. Like, that's talent among talent. And I think what I'm getting to is the idea that I think Burrow might be a quarterback that if you have the talent around him, he can do it great. If you don't have the talent around him, I think he just becomes just a guy.
I still think he's a top five quarterback. I just don't think he's as good as Mahomes.
I just don't know. Like, Mahomes can do it with just about anybody, though. And Mahomes seems like he takes anybody and makes them good. If we took Jamar Chase off of this Bengals team and said, Joe Burrow, we'll give you a little bit better of an offensive line, but go win with T. Higgins as your wide receiver, is he doing anything? Because I can make an argument that for the past couple years, he wasn't even doing the winning portion of this while having two premier wide receivers.
216-474-0092. Joe Flacco is putting up ridiculous stats. While playing for the Bengals, has Joe Flacco changed your perspective of Joe Burrow? The reason why I'm happy to hear it is, I didn't care that I got flack about it, but this offseason, like the group think around the NFL, which is, no, it's Mahomes and Burrow, and you can rank them. If you want to throw Lamar in there, that's fine, but it can start with Mahomes, but Burrow's got to be in there with Lamar, he's got to be in there with Josh Allen. And it's like, no, he doesn't. He hasn't stayed healthy. He's put up numbers on 500 teams. Kind of like the Kevin thing. I'm not happy that Kevin could be on his way out, unless you ask certain reporters. But I'm not happy that Kevin could be on his way out because I think he's a fine human being. But am I happy that the perspective is no longer two-time coach of the year every time you try and have a real conversation? Yes. Same thing with Joe.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... Look, what you're saying is reasonable. You're not knocking this guy off the pedestal entirely. You're just saying, well, that stratosphere that he was in.
I'm just saying Joe Flacco's made me think and question some things.
And by the way, he should.
That's all.
Like, even, and by the way, because we had somebody on the YouTube chat said this as well. It's not like Jake Browning didn't have a couple games where he put up numbers, too.
Last year in particular, yeah. I mean, he won a lot of games for the Bengals up until he started throwing a bunch of interceptions. The problem with Jake Browning is he just started turning the ball over at a prolific rate. But that was this year. That was not in years past.
And by the way, that could still happen with Joe Flacco.
For sure.
But for a short term, I'll still go back to it, though. My biggest glow up from Joe Flacco's success, and again, he's got to start, he's got to win a couple more games because they, what are they, 3-6 now? I think it's got to be Zach Taylor.
You know, Zach Taylor should, but you see how late everyone is to this now, or how premature, I guess, we are to this conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's not, this is not the predominant thought. I need to make that abundantly clear to people out there thinking like, oh yeah, everyone's turned on Joe Burrow. Nobody has yet. That's the startling part to myself. Like, I have this thought, and I'm thinking it, and I'm wondering if other people are thinking it as well when you're watching Joe Flacco play, and maybe they're just not voicing it. Maybe we're just not ready to voice it. Maybe people are waiting for Flacco to come back down to earth, and then we can be like, oh, you idiot. That's why we don't make comments like that. I'm not sure. I can only tell you how I feel.
I'll also tell you, though, I'll tie it back in with the Kevin Stefanski thing. I think Kevin Stefanski's, he's got this kind of this grace period because he's coaching the Cleveland Browns, right? Like, when we've had Ross on and we've been like, man, it'd be really nice to win more than five games in the last, you know, year and a half. And he goes, well, yeah, but look what he's done with the Cleveland Browns.
Well, that is part of the hype of Burrow.
You're not grading him on what does this look like in the average NFL market. You're like, well, playoff win and two playoff wins and two playoff appearances in 6 years in Cleveland. That's like Jimmy Johnson winning three Super Bowls in Dallas.
Right.
The same thing's going on with Joe Burrow, by the way.
No, and of course it has to be.
Because people don't respect Zach Taylor.
You took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
And nobody respects Mike Brown or Katie Blackburn either.
Yeah.
So I think that's
a
huge
part of
the
poverty franchise, and you're taking them places they have not gone.
And so it's interesting. Like, can your perception get Wally pipped by just not being healthy enough to play, and then a ancient quarterback going out there and looking really good too?
For me, it's starting to, and I think it's going to be a real problem for Joe Burrow if Joe Flacco continues to put up big time numbers from that perception standpoint. I would not be the only person sitting here being like, is this? Did we do this right with Joe Burrow now? Do we need to reevaluate some things?
All I hear is Nick Wilson was right. 216-474-0092.
If that's your takeaway on it, then okay.
I was wrong.
That's my
You were, as usual, I say this about Nick all the time. You were premature, my friend.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. I've heard it happens to a lot of sports talk
shows. Are you satiated?
As Joe Flacco changed your perception of Joe Burrow, the quarterback Deadpool, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You and I are in the middle of a conversation about something completely different, and I see Mac pop, like, gonna pop down and then pop up real quick. And there was a clenching motion as he stood up, and I looked over, and it looked like he about unalived himself. Are you okay there, Mac?
Yeah, no, I'm good. So the thing is that with this seat in particular, I will just try to jump on it and turn, and I knew that at some point this is going to not go well.
The old jump and turn, you never do it.
As my foot set down, it kind of spun it a little bit more than I expected, and yeah, almost wiped out.
Well, listen, you're still alive, and I think that's what counts, right? And you're not on video. Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. one of us hosts are going to do this running back. It's going to be me. One of our hosts are going to do this, and it's going to be just really tough. It's going to be really tough to see.
You say clip it. You know what? We have not had too many clippable moments, though. I think the people have been very kind in that regard.
You mean Jake and Keith?
No, Jake and Keith have done it because they – Yeah. They'll always do it. That's fine.
But they haven't
Jake
put them out
yesterday.
There.
Yeah, but they don't put them out there. But we have not had nearly the amount of people doing gifts and different things like I thought we would.
Yet. Looking at you, YouTube chat.
I just thought we would. I thought it'd be the type of thing that is like a constant day-to-day. Like, we just see people. Because we make enough faces throughout a day.
Yeah.
You know? We do enough stupid things.
There's the... So good at juggling.
I almost feel like, you know, you ever go to a comedy show, and I've done this a couple times where you go to a comedy show, and the Aziz Ansari did this actually, where he was like, I'm going to do poses. We'll do poses right now. You can take all the photos you want, so then when the comedy show starts, we won't take any photos. So he does like all these different poses, and he'll be like, and now I'm saying a funny joke, and he'll do all that. I almost wonder if you should do like 5 or 6 poses and just knock it out right now for YouTube.
Right,
that's
there?
A good one. All right, that was you getting angry.
That was me
furious. That was you getting angry. Now, how about do one? Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. Okay. All right. Oh, now you're positing. Is that a good point by Jonathan? Is that a bad point by Jonathan? I'm not really sure.
Now I'm really confused.
Now, how about you're flabbergasted? Flabbergasted.
I don't think I have a flabbergasted.
I said flabbergasted. So we got it covered. Anybody want to put some out there?
Flabbergasting, because you gave me an acting direction. I was like, I don't know where to go with it. I already gave you the I don't know where we're going with this.
I thought you did improv. I thought any word I threw out there you could just go with.
You gave me 3 similar emotions.
Flabbergasting.
Hey, I want you to contemplate and then question and then consider everything you've ever done in your life.
I didn't want you just to say, hey, could you smile? Could you just smile?
That's not good.
That face is
not good.
That was puppy eyes is what that was.
You don't want bedroom eyes.
All right, so now
bedroom eyes, Nick Wilson, I'm giving it to him. Are you satiated? Now, that being said, Pete Futek coming up in about 40 minutes there, satiating the show with college football talk, playoff rankings. Do we like them? What's the deal with that? And the Julian Sayin take that really left me cheesed off yesterday. That's about 40 minutes from now with Pete Futek, but... Since the dawn of time, or like August, we've been doing the quarterback Deadpool. Jonathan, myself, and Mac.
They're the cousin of the Toyota-thon.
No, I'm not doing it. We're going to keep this train on the tracks. We have drafted teams, and every week we get an update from the commissioner himself, Mr. Jake Murren. Mr. Commissioner, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys, and I welcome you into week 11 of the Afternoon Drive quarterback Deadpool. Let's start with an update on Nick's team. You have Garrett Nussmeier, who is coming off a bye week with a big game this Saturday against Alabama. Carson Beck, the interceptions really continue to add up for him as Miami lost to SMU last week. John Mateer did show some dual threat ability in Oklahoma's big road win over Tennessee. And Jaden Maiava, not a great passing game in USC's win over Nebraska.
I think Jaden Maiava.
Are you feeling any better about your team, Nick?
Yes, I just jumped the shark. Sorry about that, buddy. I think Jaden Maiava is my best hope for a first round pick. He's like 6'4", 230 pounds. He's got a little bit of Jameis to his game, minus the fake stuff personality wise.
Yeah.
But he's a big guy, gigantic arm on him. I could kind of also see like a little bit of Joe Flacco to him, although I think he's more mobile. Everybody else, I think I've got second and third round picks.
He's climbing. You know, actually, I heard people discussing Drew Aller yesterday.
Yeah.
And like draft people. Actually, you know who it was? It was Dane Brugler. Mm. Dane Brugler was suggesting that
I love his bagels.
That Drew Aller could still be a day two pick.
Nah, I can't do it. He should go back to school. He should just go to USC when Maiava graduates. He should just go to Oklahoma when Mateer, like, just go to a great school. Is Gunnar Stockton coming out? Go to Georgia. Go to a great school with a offensive-minded head coach. I just say Georgia, but you know what I mean. And just go out and ball out for 1 year. Wash that Franklin stank off you, Drew. You can still be a first-round pick.
That's like skunk stank, though. That's tough.
Mm. Soap. I've heard soap.
Your dog ever get skunked on him?
Yes, he's gotten skunked twice.
That sucks.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah.
By the way, you know where he hasn't gotten skunked? He got skunked living in town twice. Never been skunked in the country.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
Yeah.
Jake?
Yeah, let's go to Mac's team next. He has Lenore Sellers, Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, and Darian Mensah. Mac, I'm assuming you still feel pretty good about your team over there.
Yeah, we feel pretty confident. The only one that's giving me a little bit of pause right now is Lenore Sellers at this point.
Sounds like you're going to be the Sellers.
Nice.
Buyer or Lenore Sellers? I would be a little worried. I get the impression that he might stay another year now.
Yeah, that's the only
just
concern.
Just like Dante Moore.
That's a concern that I have with my group, at least. Just because, I mean, that South Carolina team is so bad just around him that I could see him transferring out and going somewhere else and having a successful year next year and then coming out. But again, with so many quarterbacks that we expected to be up high this year that have kind of fallen off, maybe you jump into the class early and go based off your physical tools. So I'm not really sure with Sellers, but I feel confident with the rest of my group. Mm.
And Jonathan's team, you have Dante Moore, who's coming off a bye week. Cade Klubnik did play well against Duke, but it was Clemson's fourth loss of the season. You did replace Arch Manning last week with Brendan Sorsby, who completed a third of his passes in Cincinnati's loss to Utah.
That's not good. And
they got destroyed.
Utah destroyed them. And then Sam Levitt, who is out for the year with a foot injury, reportedly likely to return to Arizona State next season.
I don't know who your reports got that from.
Pete Thamel was the one that...
There's a mixed bag of reports.
Who's that guy?
There's a mixed bag of reports. Did he say with certainty he's going to stay?
He said in the broadcast I watched last Saturday, he said...
Oh, last Saturday.
Out for the year, foot injury, reportedly will return next season.
You know, if you're a real man, you would pick up Drew Aller right now.
Is Aller on the table?
Yeah,
I didn't know you actually dropped him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you dropped him 2 weeks ago.
Get yourself a day three pick, King.
Yeah. Dave Brugger says he might be a day two pick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that have been circling in my brain. I have debated at times dropping Sorsby to then go ahead and
get the furry.
I did think about it. I thought about the furry long and hard. I really did. Yeah, I don't think he's coming out though. I think it's all but in the
stand in the suit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. He's got another year in that suit. You know that, and I know that.
And get that thing steam clean, dog.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, this gives me something to think about. Because it's not Sam Levitt. Sam Levitt, I still think, is going to come out. Pete Thamel's is wrong there. I've read too many articles about it being like, we don't know what he's going to do.
Finally jumping off the Klubnik train?
I don't know where that... No. It'd be jumping off the Sorsby train to then either get back in business with Arch Manning just because I don't want to leave it. Even he's playing great right now. He is. I don't think he's coming out, though. I think it's all but certain he's not coming out. But I could get in the Drew Aller business, and that'd be really funny if he ended up going as a day two pick. Because the Aller stock will start to climb back up.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. It might make me then take Arch Manning. Would be pretty funny.
Well, you are in front of Jonathan in the waiver wire.
I am.
Yeah, but you're not going to pick up Drew Aller.
Well, listen, I could say if I just decline to make a pick right now, but I hold the right to the end of this segment to change my mind, you want to pick somebody up? Maybe I'll make a decision.
Commissioner, I'd like to make a move.
Mm.
All right.
I'd like to drop Sorsby. I would like to pick up one Drew Aller.
Very good.
Whoa!
Just keep denying yourself the furry, though. I think you really want Josh Hoover.
I don't think he's coming
TCU.
Out. I would pick. I will never believe in a furry as my quarterback.
I just love the idea.
I will never believe in a furry as my quarterback.
We don't king shame on the show.
We don't.
Except this one instance.
But I don't choose off of kinks. But I definitely deny off of kinks.
Do you think when he gets drafted, when he walks across the stage, it'll be in like a koala?
I got to say this because people weren't listening the first time we ever did this one. The reverse Google image search has proven he's not actually a furry. Poor Josh Hoover.
I don't know how much that's really, really proved at all. Oh, thank God in heaven. Oh, fire the cannons. This segment's over.
I got news for you.
Guys, we might win again. Holy Mother of God! Oh, thank you, Lord. Christmas come early.
This isn't going to be
a blessing
good, is
upon
it?
You.
Oh, it is.
And
okay.
A blessing upon Mac. A blessing upon Jake Murray.
Is Shador starting?
Cleveland rejoice. Paul D. Podesta is leaving the Cleveland Browns to become the Rockies' head of baseball operations. Thank you and hallelujah.
He's going back to baseball.
That nerd is out of here. Oh, my God.
He's going back to baseball.
I thought he was going to run that grift until we all die. Oh, thank God. Oh, man, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, you just had to hold on for a little bit longer. Paul D. Podesta going back to baseball where he belongs, just out of Ohio where he just belongs.
So did he see the writing on the wall? If I'm Stefanski and Barry, am I scared by this news? Because he clearly went to go get another job because he knew he was getting fired.
I feel free for at least the next 8 weeks.
I feel free. I feel like we just got a chance to go ahead and win some games, actually.
Gosh.
But like, isn't
not this year, of course.
Isn't that the idea? He leaves to go get a baseball job because now he understood that there was no way he was making it to the end of this year?
Oh, my God. Guys, I honestly...
You can take the jobs.
I literally have talked with like 3 people in the last like 4 weeks. And every single one's like, he's not going anywhere. He's making Haslam money. Haslam is very content to continue on this relationship. Thank God Almighty. Paul DePodesta, according to Ken Rosenthal, is leaving the Cleveland Browns to become
the head of baseball operations. That's a big job.
Not really. That's the GM now. But he's out of,
that's a big job.
No, that's a great job.
It's a big job.
That's a huge job. That's the biggest job you've ever had, Paul DePodesta. Let freedom ring. 216-474-0092.
I wouldn't trust him to run a 7-Eleven. Nonetheless, a baseball team.
But the Rockies are pretty much a 7-Eleven run franchise.
What part of the Browns in the previous decade of him being there was like, oh yeah, no, we need that to run our baseball
team? Well, there was the analytics, and there was the marketing, and there was the football.
He couldn't run a 12-year-old's lemonade stand. I wouldn't trust him to do that. Nonetheless, a baseball team.
You're not Jimmy Haslam. 216-474-0092. The report here from Ken Rosenthal. Paul DePodesta is leaving the Browns to become the Rockies' head of baseball operations. How we feeling, chat? More to come in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.